Since the spread of the coronavirus, or COVID-19 as it is called, people have been asked to limit their presence in public and at social gatherings at different points. This keeps changing. Furthermore, these requests were particularly felt by people who were of a certain age, or those who had health conditions, or those who had the shield, or were unable to leave their home. It's interesting to find out that through the last 2 years, that there have been wider communities or local neighbourhoods, that there was a greater effort to join WhatsApp groups or other internet groups to help and give support to others in a time when people felt alone. You would have heard people on the news talking about friends that they would have met that now they were unable to meet. And so there were those seeking to be friendly, to build new relationships and friendships with those who they never would have considered before this virus outbreak. Furthermore, pen pals were encouraged by what was known as a pen pal project to be a friend to those who were shut in or those who were shielding. I don't know if you've seen the news this week, but there was there on the news two people who were years apart, an older lady and a young girl. Years apart by age and miles apart by distance. They began to write to each other during the time of lockdown, during the time of coronavirus and after. And just this week, the news reported that this was the first time they had met each other in 18 months. And they said they have made a friend and they will continue to keep in contact. And so, in listening to the comments of others, there is a real sense that some people felt lonely, some people felt cut off, and it was an anxious time. And so in such times, what do? We turn to the scriptures, and we read here as Solomon writes to his son. And in Proverbs 18, verse 24, Solomon says, "There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And so today, as we take these words, we want to elevate these words ultimately and have Christ in view. Why? Because the scriptures are all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Christ who began at Moses on through and expounded the scriptures, things concerning himself. And so as we look at Solomon's words, as he writes to his son, and he tells his son, "There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother," may we have our minds lifted to our heavenly friend. May we have our minds gazed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and see him as that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Remember, it was Christ's enemies. Whenever they mocked him, they identified Christ in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. They called him the friend of publicans and sinners. And so this was a true statement, because the Lord Jesus is the sinner's friend. He does for sinners what sinners cannot do for themselves. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Therefore, Jesus Christ is the sinner's refuge. He is the truest friend. He came to save his people from their sins. And in saving them from their sins, he has taken upon himself the charge to supply their every need. Jesus Christ is a friend to those who have no friends. He is the friend who remains when all other friends have gone. He is the friend that is truly sympathetic. He is the friend who will continually pray and support his people. He is the friend who is able to support and sustain and comfort his people. He is the friend that says, casting all your care upon me, for I care for you. He is that friend who will be our guide throughout our journey on earth, even to glory. Well, I'm glad we could say today, and I can say today, I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. Oh, I trust today that you could say the same. Maybe there's one and you feel troubled. You feel anxious. Maybe you feel friendless. I say to you, in your time of feeling alone, you go home today and maybe you're the only one in that house, in that apartment, and you live alone and you sit alone and you feel friendless. Oh, I say to you, Jesus is the answer, for he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Maybe you go through life's journey and you think you are alone. You walk home, you get the bus alone, you are on the tube alone, whatever you want to say. But on your distance, on your travels, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the ever-present one. He will never leave his people nor forsake them. Therefore, Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The word sticketh is used here in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. The word sticketh, it means to cling. It means to never let go. So you could say, there is a friend that clings closer than a brother. There is a friend that will never let go. There is a friend who will always abide, constantly abide with you. Earthly friendships may fade and flee. Loved ones will leave us at some point. Their journey on earth will come to an end. But Christ's friendship will never end. His friendship will never fail. He will never abandon you. He will never loosen his grip on you, because he is a friend that sticketh closer, that clings to you. He is a friend that will never let you go. No wonder the songwriter could say, O love that will not let me go. And therefore, child of God, in the days of deepest adversary, in the days of trial, in the days when you feel you can't go on any longer and you feel alone, note Christ's grace is sufficient. He gives and he gives and he gives again. He provides and provides and provides again. In a time of trouble, in a time of loneliness, in a time of sorrow, in a time when others have gone, he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He draws alongside. Therefore, that's what we want to look at today. Jesus Christ, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Notice, first of all, the principle of Christ's friendship. The principle of Christ's friendship is this: there is none like unto him. He is the truest friend indeed. Solomon said, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, a friend that clings, a friend that will not let us go. The word friend in this verse comes from a word that means to love. And therefore, it is translated as the word lovest or love. It is used when God commanded Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. He said, Now take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. That's the same word as friend. In Genesis 24, verse 67, the same word is used. Isaac took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And so there is a family bond, a strong bond, a father to a son, a husband to a wife. And in the marriage and in the family, there is that strong bond of friendship. Therefore, as Solomon, he writes these words, he singles out Christ's love and friendship above all others as the strongest friendship, as the strongest love. Christ is not one friend among many. He is the friend above every friend. He is one that has the most strongest bond. There will be none who will ever love you more than Christ does. And therefore, in the context of these words, as Solomon writes, he does have in few that family bond. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so the word brother in this verse signifies the natural relationship, a natural bond, the biological tie. Yet above the natural bond of family and the friendship of others, Christ is closer still. He is the greatest, the nearest, and the closest friend. Natural bonds and close friends, as we said, will come and will go. Natural bonds between brothers or any other family member can be broken, severed, maybe due to a fallout, maybe due to a disagreement, maybe in resulting in a time of silence, a time of disownment. There may be a feud in the family, and you may hear words such as these: "You have broken my trust. You have gone too far. And as a result of this, I am distancing myself from you. I don't see you as family. I don't want to see you again. Keep your distance." And therefore, Solomon knew that there is a natural bond in the family. He knew the experiences of his father, David. Because remember, Solomon's father is David. And you remember that David had brothers. He had older brothers, 7 older brothers. And these brothers, you would have thought, would have given David great support. But this was not the case. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you have that account when the armies of Israel were on one side and the armies of the Philistines were on the other side. And there is the Philistine giant Goliath. And he is defying God. He's blaspheming God. He stands tall and strong above all others. But on the Israel side, they are in fear. Goliath is this giant. However, a young boy called David runs up. And David says, "Is there not a cause?" He will seek to fight Goliath. But David's brethren, they turn on him. And one of his brothers, Eliab, seeks to discourage David, seeks to belittle him, and begins to accuse him of pride. Well, that was a time when there should have been a close bond. That should have been a time when David's brother said, "David, brother, we're behind you as you fight Goliath. We'll support you." But not the case. Remember also Jonathan, who was King Saul's son. And while he and David were not brothers naturally, yet Scripture speaks of David and Jonathan as a close bond. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, we read, "The soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David." Jonathan's heart was knit. It was bounded with David's heart. There was that sympathetic, that tenderness between the two. They had a love for one another, a respect for one another. They had each other's back. They entered into covenant union with one another. They were great friends. And therefore, Jonathan's friendship towards David stands out whenever Saul, who was Jonathan's father, he began to persecute David. And so, in that physical sense, Jonathan was to David a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So those are all the natural bonds. However, Jesus Christ is above all. He is without comparison. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He goes beyond the limitations of the natural friendship. Again, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loveth at all times. And again, remember, Solomon passes on the information to his son. All he can do is glean information, even from his own father, David. And Solomon writes, a friend loveth at all times, because Solomon remembers, my father David, he was not loved at all times by his friends. Remember, David's friends, his counselor, Ahithophel, he betrayed David. He backstabbed David. Remember David's own son, Absalom. He rebelled against his own father. He wanted the throne, and he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Instead of running towards to help his father, he did all he could to remove his father from the throne. And so Solomon can write, a friend loveth at all times, because when my dad had friends, there were those that did not love him at all times. Again, David wrote of this heartbreak in Psalm 55, verse 20, or Psalm 55 and verse 12. It was not an enemy that reproached me. Then could I have borne it. It was thou, a man, mine own equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. And so David, he knows what it is to be betrayed by a friend. He knows what it is to have a friend not love him at all times. And David's heart was breaking. And so Solomon, as he gives the instruction to his son, and he's telling his son, son, a good friend is one who loves at all time. And my son, there is a friend who loves at all times. And that friend is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Because both in few speak of Christ. Because Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Christ is a friend that loveth at all times. And that ought to thrill our heart. Christ is a friend to you, believer, who loves at all times. Our love ebbs and flows. Our love for him is up and down. But he loves at all times. We grieve him daily by a thousand falls. We question his dealings in our life. We doubt his promises. We neglect his word. We abandon the time of prayer. We even challenge his love for us. Our love is hot and cold. Yet, with regards to him, he loves at all times. He will never let us go, because his love is as himself, infinite. That means without restriction, without bounds. His love is eternal. His love is unchanging. Therefore, his love for his own is not based upon their love for him. Always grasp that. His love for you is not based on your love for him. Rather, his love for you is based upon himself, who he is. Before the foundation of the world, in eternity past, in the councils of the Trinity, he chose to save sinners. not because of their love for him or how good of a friend they would be to him, because all men are born in sin. All men love darkness rather than light, but rather he chooses to save sinners and to be their friend and love them at all times for his own pleasure, for his own honor and glory. And therefore, let that sink in, believer. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His love, his friendship will never let you go. I don't know what you will face this year. I don't know the trials and the troubles. I don't know the dark roads, the lonely paths that you will be called to walk on in the next number of weeks. But one thing I do know is this. Through it all, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There will never be a time when he will not be present. There will never be a time when he will not stick close. There will never be a time when he will not love. Therefore, here is, as we think about this, there is the principle of Christ's friendship. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Notice secondly, the proof of Christ's friendship. Due to the fall of man in the sin, with all the results and effects of sin, such lives are guilty and corrupt. By nature, we are not the friends of God. One to grasp that. Because of sin, by nature, we are not the friends of God. Paul writing to the believers at Rome, he reminded them in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, that before they were the friends of God, we were enemies. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, the carnal mind is at enmity or at war against God. So notice that. As soon as we were born into this world, we were born as the enemies of God. Our mind is against God. We are at war with God. And yet, here is the good tidings of great joy. In John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's amazing. To those who are his enemies, to those who are at war, at a distance, he sent his Son into this world to lay down his life for his enemies, to lay down his life, to give himself a ransom. What good news the gospel is to those who are at war. Friendship between God and man is restored in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the one whom men have sinned against, whose wrath they deserve, have now become a friend to the one that sticketh closer than a brother. In order to be the truest friend of sinners, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, because the one who must save men must be identified with those he came to save. He must have the same nature as those he came to save. That is why we use the term the God-man. He is God manifest in the flesh. Though he was man, he never ceased to be God. Here are the two natures in one person forever. His humanity and his deity. They are not mixed. They are not confused. They are not blended in. He's not a little bit of both. He is not 50% man or 50% God. Rather, he is fully God and he is fully man. And therefore, he came to do all that was needed to be done in order to be the friend of sinners, and to provide a perfect righteousness, a perfect covering, one that God would accept for entrance into heaven. And the requirement for entrance into heaven is perfect obedience to God's law. And the law in view is God's moral law, as summarized in the Ten Commandments. And so, for anyone to enter into heaven, it is by perfect obedience to God's law. But here's the thing, because we are fallen sinners, we can never obey God's law perfectly. Oh, we may try to do it day by day, but we continually sin against God. We continually break His law day by day. And therefore, there needed to be one who would not break God's law, who could not break God's law, one who was perfect. And that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5 states, Christ was made under the law. In other words, He put Himself under His own law. He submitted to Himself under His own law. Why? To redeem. And the word redeem, it means to purchase. It means to ransom. It means there are sinners in the slave market. And so Christ came and purchased them. He redeemed them that were under the law. And this is the law of God that Adam was to obey. However, Adam failed God's law. And therefore, Christ came to fulfill what Adam failed to do. Adam brought disobedience. Christ brought obedience. Adam brought death. Christ brought life. The law, as summarized in the Ten Commandments, required perfect obedience. Perfect obedience to its precept. That means its commands. And also a perfect obedience to pay its penalty. Anything less is a failure. And so we cannot obey God's law perfectly. Nor can we pay the penalty of the law. Christ submitted Himself to His own law. He humbled Himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's why, believer, we are saved both by the life and the death of Christ. John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So the greatest proof of Christ's friendship, the ultimate proof of Christ's friendship, of His love, is seen on Mount Calvary, where He laid down His life for His friends. The cross of Christ, the offering up of Himself to God without spot, is the very heart of Christ's friendship. He took the place of the ungodly. He thirsted for sinners. He died for sinners. And therefore, all who have trusted in Him, He is their substitutionary sacrifice. We have offended God, yet He has taken the place of the offender. He suffered all our sins and our sorrows. He gave Himself. He presented Himself to God on our behalf. He did what we could never do. And He met God's law. He gave a perfect righteousness by obeying the law in its every command and paying its penalty, which is death. Therefore, we live because He died. Here is the proof of Christ the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It is Christ who died for the sins of his people. Notice, finally and briefly, the possession of Christ's friendship. When Solomon wrote these words, he thought what it was to possess Christ's friendship. For Christ's friendship is the possession of any and every sinner saved by grace. Those who were once enemies and at a distance of with God have been now made the friends of God. They have been brought into union, brought into a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the precious blood of Christ that is our only plea. All who have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ from the time of Adam, they are Christ's, and he is that friend that sticks close to them. God says in Isaiah 41 verse 8, he called Abraham my friend. In James 2 verse 23, Abraham again is called the friend of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 7, we read, Abraham, thy friend forever. And these are all statements. And therefore, the one who has Christ as their friend, they can never be unfriended. They can never be deleted. They can never be cast away. I know today when you have these mobile phones, you can block people, you can delete people, you can put people on silence, whatever it may be. But that can never be with Christ. He will never delete his people. He will never block his people. Because he is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Paul said in Romans 8 verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? What can separate us from the love of Christ? Who? And he gave the answer in verses 35 to 38. And then he said these words in verse 38 to 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. Therefore, nothing can separate you from Christ. Once you are saved, you are his possession and he is yours. I am his and he is mine. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's my friend and I'm his friend. Therefore, when we have trials, temptations, note there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, I pray today, believer, that you will rejoice that you have won that will never let you go. No matter how hard the day is, no matter how hard the trial is, no matter how lonely you may be, as we said, earthly family, earthly bonds will come and go. Maybe there'll be some maybe here in this room today, maybe some listening, and you are what is termed as the last of your family. Yet you have one who draws alongside. When you sit at your dinner table and you're the only one at that table, you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You have one who will never let you go. Unsaved one today, you need to have Christ as your friend. You need to have Christ as your Savior. Because right now, you are an enemy to him. Right now, you're under his wrath. And therefore, you must come and ask him this day to be your Savior, to be your friend, to be that one to you, to take away all your sin. And he will, for his name's sake. Amen.